Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Irvis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Irvis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big NBA offseason show, part two. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. We're really excited. There's so much to cover here with the second part of our NBA offseason shows. Lots of juice, even a ton of juice in the last 48 hours, as we've been saying together off air. Chris is going to be joining us via Google Hangouts tonight, so it'll be a very much more CD quality experience across the board, so I'm very excited about it. So let's look into what has been a very exciting offseason. Fortunes changing. And a new look for several teams around the NBA besides some of the big names. Let's jump it. All right, let's do it. The NBA offseason show part two. A couple quick headlines. The Portland Trail Blazers won the NBA Summer League Championship in a blowout win over the Lakers. And the Lakers having a really good Summer League this year. Similar to last year, they're actually defending Summer League champions, as I remember it. And this year, unsung hero Josh Hart won the Summer League MVP. He was really playing well, along with this guy that they signed, Svi, can't pronounce his last name. But there it is for Summer League. A lot of moments, we'll talk about that too. And just to recap some of the offseason stuff from the last podcast, the Lakers, we told you about they signed Stevenson and McGee, but they also signed Rajon Rondo to a one-year deal, too. So this is a real set of misfits for the Lakers, presumably to mentor the young kids. But, you know, it's pretty unproductive players to go with that. We'll talk more about that as we bring in our co-host tonight. And that is Chris in Georgia. Chris, it's good to have you back. Lots to talk about. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's exciting. We kind of timed this right. A lot of big transaction the last 48 hours. So can't wait to get into it with you.
Yeah, and the biggest trade of them all, the Spurs trading Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green of the Raptors on Wednesday. In the trade, the Spurs will receive DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a protected 2019 first-round pick. And going back, as you mentioned, Leonard and Green. So, I mean, that was a surprise for a lot of reasons. Number one, it means the Lakers can't make a move for him, we think. Maybe they could, but it would really not even be worth it at this point. Spurs eventually got what they wanted out of it. I mean, they had to get something out of it. It worked out. There's a lot to talk about here. What are your thoughts on this big trade? It's pretty much the biggest thing that's happened since LeBron at this point with the offseason.
Yeah, I love this kind of thing because it you don't often get a star player getting traded in his prime for really what is another star. I mean, you know, you compare these two players and you know, Kawhi for his career has been obviously a much more complete player. You're talking about like one of the top five players in the NBA when he's healthy. But you can't overlook DeRozan, who's probably a top 25 player in the league. I think he's a four-time All-Star, great player in his own right. Even though he has his warts, but still highly productive player. And I love this kind of thing because I have a soft spot for what Toronto's doing with Masai Ujiri, and he. You know, I've talked about it a lot on the show. I love how he drafts some of the players he brings in. But this is just, this is a whole nother level. It's just, he's being way aggressive here, going after a guy who reportedly said he doesn't want to play in Toronto. And it really is kind of fascinating. Like, he's just saying, look, I don't care. We're going to go for this, and we're going to change our roster. And there's so many ways to look at this, from, where does Toronto stack up in the East? Cause you know, we see a big shift in the East from LeBron leaving. Well, now we got Kawhi Leonard coming in, kind of taking his place on a team that was the number one seed already, and has a lot of nice young pieces in place. And, so there's that angle. There's the angle that, the Raptors really could, they could find themselves in a position where they decide to trade Leonard again, and they could ship him off. There's how healthy is Leonard, and will he play, and is he motivated to play, and is he motivated to play in Toronto? There's a million things we could talk about, Dave, here. It's just, I'm thrilled. Even though Toronto gave away a big piece in DeRozan, they kept a lot of their smaller pieces, or some of their young guys who I really like Pascal Siakam. And I mean, they gave away Poeltl, but he was a nice piece, but Siakam was the guy, and OG Anunoby and Fred VanVleet. I'm really high on those guys who are all in their first, second, and third years. So, there's tons to talk about. We could talk about, how the East stacks up. I mean, a million different ways you can go with this, but I'm thrilled. I love, you could even talk about how infrequently, like, big players get traded for other big players. I can't wait. I'm thrilled. Like, this got me fired up for NBA season when it came out yesterday. And the more I thought about it, yesterday afternoon, it just really kind of, I want to see these teams now, Dave. I want to see the Raptors. I want to see the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to see the Clippers, even for a weird reason. So, the Celtics, of course, but like some of these teams that have really turned over their roster, I'm excited to see.
You know, if this is the kind of player, if he stays healthy and he wants to play for him, that could really take the Raptors out of their little comfort zone of, making it the semifinal round and losing. I think they can actually make the finals with a team like this. It's a huge difference to me. And I think the problem for me is that Leonard doesn't seem to be buying into it at the onset. And I think that's a mistake. I think he should try to play and try to increase his value. I mean, even there's no way to know whether they'd be able to re-up him after the season. And I think if you look at it from Kawhi's point of view, he probably doesn't want to do that. He probably will just play this 1 year and then try to sign with the Lakers or the Clippers or somebody else. But gosh, why not give it a shot? I'm surprised that he's saying, well, I'm not going to play the season. Like, first of all, I don't even know if that's legal, if you're allowed to do that. Because I think if you don't play, if you literally just decide, I'm not playing, I think the team may have an argument to not pay him for the year. So I don't know if he wants to do that. That seems a little extreme. But beyond that, it just seems like it's a great situation. It's a great team. What's not to love in this specific scenario? I think he really could be in it's a great opportunity. And I just wish that Kawhi would recognize that from the onset.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one other thing that gets overlooked, I've probably been to maybe 10 NBA arenas in my life. One of them is Toronto. And that place is, the Air Canada Center is fantastic. And the fans are great. I mean, I went during the Vince Carter era, but it was, the building was packed. People were into it. You know, it has a reputation as a hockey town, but the fans are fantastic. Like you said, it's not like he's going to, it's not like they shipped him off to the Kings, you know. They sent him to a team that could conceivably be in the conference finals and possibly even the finals. So, you know, this is not like a slap in the face from Pop to Kawhi. I'm excited. And it would be, what would be really interesting, Dave, is what if Masai Ujiri and the new coach, Nurse, what if they, you know, were able to convince Kawhi to stay, you know, and especially in light of the fact that Kawhi said, I don't want to play here, or reportedly, we don't know. He's never said that publicly, I don't think, but, you know, what if they were able to convince him to stay and to spend, you know, a few more years in Toronto? How cool would that be? And then the other thing too is, and I should have looked this up today. I meant to do it before the podcast, but ESPN on their Twitter posted something that because Toronto has his bird rights, he can sign that Supermax contract, which is like a 5-year deal. He could stand to make a lot more money if he were to stay in Toronto than if he were to leave somewhere else in free agency. Now, of course, they could do a sign and trade with that scenario where they, you know, they sign him to that max contract and then trade him, I think. But he stands to make the most money in Toronto, and it's only been a few years, I think, since they adopted that. But I think that I don't think anyone's actually turned that down. I mean, the biggest free agent kind of to leave anywhere has been LeBron last few years. But yeah, I mean, he, you know, maybe he really does want to. Here's the other thing. We don't know how serious he is about wanting to play in LA. We thought Paul George wanted to play in Los Angeles, and it was, you know, come hell or high water, he was going to be a Laker or a Clipper. Well, look at how that turned out, you know. Yeah. So here's the thing, we don't know. And, like, you know, players kind of, I think, you know, they can get become attached to a place. And like I said, Toronto, I mean, I worked up there for like a month one year. And, I mean, it was in the dead of winter. And it is miserably cold. But it was great. I had a great time. It's a fantastic city. And I really do hope he gives it a chance. It would be really exciting. It'd be good for the Eastern Conference to have three great teams in the Celtics and the Raptors and the Sixers. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. And it's just one of those things. Like I said, I want to see what the Raptors look like with him playing there.
Yeah, I do too. I basically feel like they've got a team that can really get places. They just needed a leader. And this guy can do it. It would be very, very fascinating. Maybe they can win him over. I mean, I believe in him. I believe in this team a little more with Kawhi than I would have with DeRozan. And speaking of DeRozan, going over to San Antonio, I think it's a good fit for him because Pop's always found a way to make just about everybody productive. And believe it or not, ISO players seem to work well within the system. I mean, you've got some guys recently. Rudy Gay is a good example. Like, he's had a good year in San Antonio, and either he did or they signed him. But I think he was in San Antonio last year. So I honestly think that he'll have a nice second chance. And it's a little bit murky with San Antonio right now. I don't know what to expect. I don't think they're winning a championship now. I think that's sailed. There's no way that's going to happen. But you know, it's pretty unpredictable, and which is, I think, the first time I can really say that about the Spurs. And normally, you know what you're getting with the Spurs. You got some idea of where they're going to end up. You know, usually about 40 to 50 wins. They make it to the playoffs, and then at that point, it depends on whether the old guys can keep it together. Well, not only are the old guys not around anymore, most of them have left. We'll talk about Tony Parker later. He signed with a new team. But now you're without your superstar. It's a very different world for San Antonio. So what do you think of that side of the transaction?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. I really don't have a good handle on that, what that team looks like now. Because they've lost a few players. I mean, Danny Green, the other player that went in that trade, and we haven't even talked about it, is Danny Green, who was a pretty valuable contributor last few years for the Spurs too. So yeah, I mean, in the West, where would I put the Spurs? I mean, I'd put obviously Golden State and Houston, I think, are still the top two. I think the Lakers are probably three or four.
It could be three. That's pretty amazing to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think Oklahoma City's up there just because when you have, you know, when you have two players on the level of Paul George and Westbrook, it's still an elite team and they're very good defensively.
Yeah.
The team, yeah, I mean, they might be fifth. I don't have a good feeling about the Timberwolves. Just everything that's gone on, that seems like a powder keg right now. I could see that blowing up midseason next year. It's going to be fun to watch because that could be a real disaster, Dave. And
yeah, you're right.
And maybe Spurs are like a five seed. But again, I just don't have a real solid grasp. But, you know, it's amazing, though. Pop really gets some of these guys and coaches them up. And we've seen that time and time again where guys who played great in the Spurs system ended up leaving. And what do you know? They don't look so great somewhere else. So, I mean, I felt a little bad about DeRozan just because he re-upped. He was one of the few guys who actually stayed in Toronto, which is pretty rare. When you think about like Chris Bosh, for example, the guys who got drafted. And again, it's the player's prerogative to leave, but he actually sort of at least seemed to like it there. So from that standpoint, I feel kind of bad. But he's going to a good situation. He's playing for one of the great coaches of all time. Oh, the other point I wanted to make too, just on the Raptors side, is that I think the way the Raptors were looking at this was, you know, yeah, there's risk that Kawhi leaves after this year, and there's no sign in trade that, you know, he just walks and he signs somewhere else. He signs with the Lakers, let's say. But the way I see it is that maybe the Raptors are looking at that as a, you know, as not the worst case scenario. For example, I think they looked at this team. They looked at the way they got handled by the Cavs last year, swept by the Cavs with DeRozan on the bench in game four. And I think they thought, look, I mean, this is probably as far as we can go. Lowry's contract is enormous. DeRozan's wasn't quite as bad, but DeRozan's younger. And I think they looked at it and they said, you know what, we got to shake it up. And that's another reason I love this trade, because they're looking at it as, look, if he walks, yeah, he walks, but we can clear out that salary space and kind of, you know, clear the decks a little bit and start over. So that'll be, yeah, there's so many angles to this trade, Dave. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's there's a lot, and I mentioned the word opportunity. It's opportunity for the former Spurs too, like Danny Green. You mentioned how he has a nice situation. It's an opportunity for the new coach. It's an opportunity for the GM in Toronto. And with LeBron leaving the East, I think that really opens the door. They almost take the Cavs spot in a way, you know. So like you said, that's a de facto top three now. Indiana will, you know. You get what you get. I don't think that's more than a four or five seed anyway. So it's just a ton of opportunity. And I think if they keep it together, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, we don't know if that's going to stay. Like maybe they trade Kawhi again, but I don't know if that's so wise for the team making the trade with Toronto. I don't think it makes sense. Like it's like you're going to give away more guys to get Kawhi Leonard now for what could end up being just a year. I'm not even sure if that's in the team's best interest. And you know, I'm speaking of the Lakers when I bring that up. I mean, it's like all that just to get him a year early, because the you know, I think you like your leverage more trying to get him in the off season. So, but that definitely took it off. That took a lot of the sting out of the possibility that the Lakers could make the trade for Kawhi from San Antonio. And I think good on Pop for not giving into that, because I think he never wanted to do with the Lakers. I just think his gamesmanship refused to let him send away a player that good to one of his rival teams. I think that was actually good on Pop to stand his ground on that. So, you know, it's tough for the Spurs to lose a top five player in the NBA, but I think if you had to do it, this is a reasonable way to get it done. And at least you get an all-star caliber player back. and Pop's the kind of coach that can make an ISO player like DeRozan work. I don't know if he's going to try to get him to shoot threes, because you know that Pop is not a not a mid-range guy at all. He's all about three-pointers and layups, and DeRozan's all about mid-range jump shots. So do you think that he can transform his game at this late stage of DeRozan's career?
Yeah, I'm looking up DeRozan's stats because I forget exactly, but he seemed to have some improvement in his three-point shooting. That's mild. You know, he's still like below average. He ended up at 31%, which is below average. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question, Dave. I mean, you know, I think guys like DeRozan and like the other guy I was thinking about was guy on the Suns. Is it TJ?
TJ Warren?
TJ Warren, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's another guy like that who's a good scorer. Like, they're both really good scorers, but they don't hit the three. So in this day and age, like in 1986, those guys would be like, you know, DeRozan would be like one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he already is, but I mean, we talk about him with more reverence probably. Same with TJ Warren and those guys. And I think they do get a little underrated. But I understand why Pop likes that, because it spaces the floor and it opens things up underneath and it makes it harder to play defense. So there is that. Whether I think he can change him, I don't know. You know what? He's 28. I feel like what you see is kind of what you get. I mean, he's sort of in his prime now. DeRozan, I'm talking about. And I think it's hard to see him improving. I'd be very skeptical. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he could?
It's interesting you bring that up. I just realized that LaMarcus Aldridge is still on the Spurs, and so he has a big mid-range game too. So I guess it could coexist. So they'll probably work around it. And I don't think Pop, maybe Pop won't end up changing much of anything, since he's a pretty long veteran of the game. So I think they'll just make that. They'll make it work. They'll just go, all right, well, DeRozan, you're on one side, and LaMarcus, you're on the other, and let's just see what happens, and then we'll take it from there. So it'll be a different team next year. Yeah, I mean, we're definitely a long ways from the slow grinded out team with the tough defense that we used to see when we were younger, like 20 years ago. Like, it's a very different team now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And the other thing, too, you got to factor in is, like, I feel like Pop is just, like, he's kind of, I mean, you know, he's had a rough time, you know, his wife passing away. I feel like he's not long for coaching. And he's kind of, you know, he's looking at this and the whole Kawhi headache. And he's just thinking, you know, I may only have, like, one or two more years left. And then I'm going to move on. So I don't think he's necessarily looking at this long term. And you know, I think getting a player like DeRozan is helpful, because he, you know, again, he's in his prime, and rather than getting a young guy, I don't know, you know, instead of DeRozan, I don't think that helps him very much.
You're right, though. It's a very good point. He's not getting any younger, and he's faced a lot of grief. And the poor guy has just had a tough, like you said, a tough couple years. And it might be time. I don't know how long it'll be. Neither of us are going to have a real feel for the exact timeline, but I think it's easy to say maybe within the next 3 years, I think some kind of plan to retire is going to be in effect. Either retire or just take a year off and then try something else. And you know, he's earned it. He's been so great for so long, and he's gotten the most out of everybody that he's had on his teams. You'd think that maybe at some point he feels like this is time, and the time comes for everyone. So, he's smart enough to really sense that, and I think we'll get an idea of how much longer it'll be, you know, over the course of this season. I think that that's the case. So that's it for that trade for now, but like you said, we really could go like the whole show talking about it. It's really quite fascinating, and much to come there. So I'm going to roll through some of these I don't necessarily want to do this in a specific order. The next biggest move this week was from the Hawks, and they've been trying to do this for a while, like for several days. I think you even mentioned to me a week ago, like they were trying to deal Dennis Schroeder and send him to the Thunder in exchange for Carmelo Anthony. Anthony went and opted into his contract for the remainder of that deal, which is good for $27.9 million. But in a trade to Atlanta, the plan was for the Hawks to buy out the remainder of that, to buy out the $27.9 million, and then someone else will sign him. So, well, today was official. Woj reported that it's a three-team deal. It was initially planned out as a two-team deal. But in the deal, Carmelo goes to the Hawks along with a 2022 protected first-round pick. The protection is from spots 1 through 14. So if whoever, I think at this point... Oh, wait, that pick came from the Thunder then, I think? I'll double-check. Well, we can double-check that later. But if the protection doesn't get conveyed in that first year, it becomes 2 second-round picks. It's kind of confusing.
The pick is from the Thunder, absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay. Thanks for sharing that with me. So that's that end of it. The Thunder get Dennis Schroeder and get rid of Carmelo. I think that in itself is probably a relief for them. And the 76ers will get Timoth Luwawu-Cabarro. And I believe he came from maybe Oklahoma City. I'm not really sure. But a three-team deal. And part of the reason it's a three-team deal, I think, is to assess the salary cap scenarios so that you get equal salary all the way across. And as we mentioned, the Hawks should release Carmelo in the middle of that. And so the Hawks are now in a position to get a little bit more cap room. And they get a first-round pick on top of that. Probably a good spot. Makes up a little bit for that decision to take Trae Young over Luka Doncic, but Trae Young had a good summer league too, to be fair. So let's get your thoughts on this one. This is a very, very comprehensive trade, and I wonder who you thought won it.
All right, well, I'll tell you who I don't think won it is Oklahoma City, because I just do not get this. All right, so I'm just not a big Dennis Schroeder fan, and there's so much going on there. From I don't think he's a very good player, for one. Two, he's locked up. He's making $15.5 million per season until after the 2021 season, so he's got 3 more years on his contract. And for their particular situation, Oklahoma City, that is, he's going to be coming off the bench, right?
Right, because he would be playing in the same position as Russell Westbrook, basically. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Russell Westbrook plays 40 minutes a game.
So I know.
What does that mean? So you're paying this guy to be a backup. You're paying him long-term. Your cap situation's let's face it, it's kind of a mess anyways. I don't get this. I'd rather have Carmelo's contract for 1 year and take that enormous cap hit. Well, maybe not that, but we discussed the fact that they could have conceivably used the stretch provision and gotten under the luxury tax penalty and not have to worry about that. But yeah, I don't understand this at all for them. I don't know, unless maybe they have another trade lined up, but I doubt it. Cause why wouldn't that be part of this one?
Right.
So I don't like it for Oklahoma City from that standpoint. I'm just not a Schroeder fan. For the Hawks. So they get, I like it for the Hawks. And this is like a Brooklyn Nets type of pick. Trade, right? Like they've done like 6 of these since Sean Marks took over. But basically they get a huge contract, in this case Carmelo, and to sweeten the pot, the other team sends them a draft pick, and it's a number one, like as you pointed out, it's protected. So I'm not clear exactly where that protection starts, and then if it doesn't convey that first year, they get 2 seconds. But even still, I like that. I like teams that are rebuilding, and the Hawks are certainly in that category, to have as many picks as you can get, even if they're second rounders. I mean, you can strike gold in the second round, and you know those can be nice little building blocks for bad teams. So I love it. I like it for the Hawks, and after the Hawks acquired Jeremy Lin from Brooklyn, it really did make a lot of sense to that Schroeder was going to have to be gone, because they had the rookie, you had Lin, you had Schroeder. I mean, who's going to, you know, how many minutes can you play all these guys? So from that standpoint, I really liked it. What do the Sixers get exactly? They get Mike Muscala. They got Mike Muscala. I like it for the Sixers from this. So the Sixers really had very little to do with this. They shipped the French guy.
Yeah.
to the Thunder. Right. And then they get Mike Muscala, and it makes sense.
Oh, that's true. They did do that. You're right. That's right.
Yeah. 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 So for the Sixers standpoint, I think last time we talked, I thought they had Bielitsa from Minnesota, and I guess that fell through. I don't even know exactly what happened, but he's still a free agent. They didn't sign him. And I think Muscala kind of fits that bill of like a really big wing. It gives them a nice versatility. So I like it from the Sixers standpoint. Oklahoma City, I do not understand what they're doing. I really don't. I don't get it.
To you, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, yeah, I can't really figure it out either. I will update you on Bielitsa, and he is. The latest rumblings are that he's discussing a 2-year deal with the Kings in a $13 million range. But at this point, I have no idea. I mean,
no, I don't want to go to the Sixers. Sacramento is more my speed. Jeez, are you kidding me?
I'm surprised that he would back out of an arrangement with a team like the Sixers. I don't know what his deal is. Now, at the time, they said that he wanted to go back to European basketball, but you literally are saying no to one of the bright young stories in basketball, give or take the Colangelo scenario. I mean, still, it's quite a fun team, and yeah, I don't know. He seems like a fool in this one, don't you think?
I did not hear that. I'm just Googled it now. I don't get that.
I don't get that either.
The only thing I think of, maybe there was something like the Sixers found out. I have no idea how far those talks progressed, but maybe they did a physical. They didn't like something. I don't know. And they did the decent thing, and they didn't report. I don't know. I'm just speculating here, Dave. I have no idea what's going on with. I don't know. Here's the thing. The Kings, I think the Kings are like 20 million, or maybe it's like, no, it's like more like 12 million under the cap or under the salary floor, I think. I think you have to spend like 91 million. The cap is 101, I think. And the Kings are at like 79 million right now. And they have to, buy some players quick. Now, I was afraid to, you know, this is something I talked to you about offline. I was afraid that Marcus Smart was going to be a target. Evidently, it never was the case. So they're after Bielitsa. But they have money to spend, and they're one of the only teams at this point that does, because, you know, the Hawks went out and got Lin and some of these other teams like the Nets got Fareed. And so, like, a lot of that money and the Mavericks were the other team, but a lot of the money, you know, that the teams had to spend is gone. So, I guess if you're the Kings, you got to spend it somewhere. And I don't get what they're doing over there.
Yeah, I guess they're getting desperate. They're just trying to get the money spent somehow. But
the Kings should have been in on like Fareed. That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
You know, get Fareed. Dude, Dave, we talked about this last time. The Kings are going to be terrible. And they don't have a first-round pick next year. Their pick, which will be a lottery pick, is going to be belong either to the Sixers or the Celtics. I mean, it's just – it blows your mind. I mean, it's just some teams – you just shake your head.
Yeah.
Because they are just inept.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and for a while, the Lakers were clearly an inept franchise, but maybe arguably still are, considering some of who they signed recently. But even at that, I mean, signing LeBron, that's great. But let's get into that a little bit with the Nets, because the Nets are involved in a whole lot of stuff. Like, you know, and I didn't even catch I forgot to write down the Jeremy Lin trade, because that did occur. They traded for him from, I forgot where, but he's back on the Nets at this point, I think. And you said
he's on the Hawks.
Oh, he's on the Hawks now. Okay, right. So they traded him from the Nets to the Hawks.
Correct.
And I think Kenneth Faried ended up where? Did he end up going to?
Kenneth Faried is on the Nets.
He is on the Nets. Okay, so he made it to the Nets. Was it in that trade?
What, pardon?
Was it in the trade, or that for Jeremy Lin, or is it something else?
No, they're two separate trades. So the Nets got Darrell Arthur and Kenneth Faried from the Nuggets for Isaiah Whitehead and a draft pick. And I can't remember the specifics on that. I mean, I think it was lottery protected, but I can't remember exactly where that cutoff was.
Right.
Then you had maybe a day later, or maybe it was the same day. I can't remember now the timeline. But at some point afterwards, they got the Nets traded Jeremy Lin to the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And was that just for? I'm just trying to remember now. I think that was for just draft picks. Yeah,
okay.
It was draft picks for the Hawks. So the Nets were able to get – the Nets basically gave up draft picks from Atlanta, or rather from Denver, in order to take on this massive Faried contract, and then received and then gave up more draft picks in order for the Hawks to get to take on Jeremy Lin's contract.
Mm-hmm.
That happened on the same day. That happened last Friday.
Okay.
So it was pretty busy there. Right away you're looking at, I mean, you know, we don't know, again, Lin basically, I think he got hurt in the first game of the season last year. So we don't even know if he's going to play. I mean, and the guy's always hurt, but when he does, he's good. So those are two teams that are going to look very, very, very different in October.
Yeah. And now the Nets were involved in even more transactions. Ed Davis, I don't know when this happened, but I think Ed Davis signed with the Nets for 1 year, $4.4 million. I've forgotten about him, but what I remember of him when he was on the Lakers is that he was a solid defender, decent all-around player. But it's been a while, so obviously – I think the $4.4 million says that maybe he's not a hugely valuable player. Have you seen him play lately? I mean, that seemed like it might be a decent calculated gamble from the Nets' perspective. Also from the Nets, Dwight Howard was traded to them by the Hornets in exchange for Timofey Mozgov. And then the Nets went right out and bought out Howard's remaining salary. We'll tell you where.
Carmelo'd him.
They Carmelo'd him, yeah, because he was owed a good amount, right? So,
yeah.
I think the Hornets did all right, but I think the Mozgov contract's pretty bad too, because it's the same one that the Lakers signed him to. So, I'm not really sure what they really gained. It's like, well, we got rid of one overpaid player, and we got another one. It's just like, I'm not really sure what happens there other than maybe an expiring contract. So, before we get into where Dwight Howard went, what did you think of the Nets at end of all this?
I can't wait to talk about that. what did I think about where the Nets ended up?
Yeah, because like getting rid of Mozgov and then buying out Howard and then signing Ed Davis.
Yeah, I mean, the Ed Davis thing, I mean, he's a bench player. Not bad. I mean, you know, he can give you a few points. He'll grab a few boards, but he's not a starting caliber player. And he's – Oh, he's only 28. I thought he was a little bit older than that. But, yeah, I haven't seen a ton of him just because he's on the Trailblazers. And it's a little past my bedtime most nights. And also, they're not bad enough that I have interest in whether they're gonna get a good lottery pick. So, I think that's, you know, I think it's a reasonable sign. I mean, 4.4, it's not, you know, and 1 year, I mean, can't go wrong there. Yeah, the Dwight Howard thing is interesting because
he's all right, you ready?
13th in a month.
That's true. So, guess who picked up Dwight Howard as a free agent? The Washington Wizards, one of the least likable teams in the NBA, picked up another guy that is tough to take. So he signs with the Wizards for a 1+1 deal. So it's a 2-year contract with an opt-out option for year number 2. So you can only imagine being a Wizards fan and dealing with all that crap. I mean, now you got a deal. Man, now he had a good year last year with Charlotte, to be fair to him, but that is going to be just a lot of... It could be one of the all-time underachieving teams in the NBA. I think it really sets up that way. But I got to hear your thoughts on this whole thing with Dwight Howard.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you think after they made the trade with the Clippers and they got rid of Gortat, and there was, you know, all season there was a lot of rumors, Gortat and Waldo. Well, it wasn't even rumors. It was pretty well sourced out there that these two guys just didn't get along, and they kind of said things publicly, you know, to that effect. But you thought, okay, well, a lot of the drama's gone, and there was a lot of talk that Beal and Wall didn't get along too. But I don't know; it's not clear. Maybe they patched things up. But then you do this, and it's like, I mean, first of all, look, Washington needed a center. They needed to get a center because I think the only big guy on their team was Ian Mahimi.
And
yeah,
I can't remember how to say it.
he's not good, and so they needed a center. And you know, there was a lot of speculation that Boogie Cousins might be an option because he and Wall were teammates at Kentucky, and you know, that didn't happen, obviously, because he signed with Golden State. And so, yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a game of musical chairs. You're running out of places for Dwight Howard to go. Yeah. And this is it. And man, I mentioned the Timberwolves as a team that could implode. Well, that's the team in the West. The Wizards are the team in the East, and you know, it says something. You know, it's not like I won't pick a team that I expect to be terrible. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, the Suns are going to implode. Well, yeah, no. I mean, they're bad. I mean, they can only you know, exceed expectations.
Right.
But I'm talking about a team that, you know, conceivably, I mean, Washington has a lot of talent. They have a lot of good players. And, I don't think they're as good as the top three teams, but there's no reason why they couldn't be the 4 seed in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, if I had a bet, you know, I'd put them much, much lower than that. And the Wolves, I kind of see in the same boat. I mean, a lot of talent, and I just don't see it being fulfilled. And it wouldn't shock me if either of these coaches are gone.
Oh, yeah. Now in Washington, we're talking about the guy who used to coach the Thunder.
Yeah, Scott Brooks.
Scott Brooks, yeah. Yeah, yep. I remember him. So I keep forgetting his name, but I remember his glasses. So, yeah, now he's – yikes. I always get the impression that when he coaches a team that the players just walk all over him in a big spot. They just seem to not have a lot of. I get the impression that they don't seem to respect him very much when the chips are down. Maybe that's a good thing in the regular season because maybe that constitutes him as a player's coach. But man, once they get to the playoffs, it's just like they just tend to just have their own agenda, the players on the court. We saw it with Oklahoma City. I feel similarly with Washington. Fair or not fair, I don't know, but that's sort of my feeling on him. So like I said, he's a good he might even be considered a good regular season coach, but what was interesting about Washington is that they really, even within the season, they were underachieving. Like, they just did not get the kind of production in the win column that people were expecting, and it really forced them into another 4-5, 6-6, 6-seed scenario. And of course, they didn't make it out of the first round. I called that before the playoffs, and that was basically what happened here. So, like you said, Chris, it's a lot of talent, but it's not talent that seems to jibe with one another. And so it's a very awkward team to watch most of the time. So, I don't know. I mean, you were right. They needed a center. They needed better defense. So, theoretically, you could get that from Howard, but he's so soft. I can't expect that. You know, you thought Gortat was soft. That guy is really soft. So I don't know if there's going to be much improvement, honestly.
Yeah, no, I know. It really is a shame. And I guess people just really don't like Howard. Because like you said, he really wasn't bad last year. And, I mean, you were saying he's soft. Man, Dwight Howard, you look at his early career. The first, like, I just pulled it up, his basketball reference page. The first four seasons of his career, he played all 82 games. Mm-hmm. The fifth season, he played 79. The sixth, he played 82. Mm-hmm. And this guy was an Iron Man, like, right out of the gate. He looked, and, you know, he only had a significant dip in his age 26 season when he played 54 games for Orlando, and the following season he got traded to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But we were at that time, we were thinking about him as, you know, he was certainly at the time one of the elite players in the league. And it's amazing how quickly that changed. I mean, like, within 2 years, he was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
And now it's just like the Nets are releasing you, you know, they're they're picking up your contract and like, we don't want you on our team. Like, we don't think you have anything to offer this team that was, I think, you know, had like the seventh or eighth worst record in basketball last year.
Yeah. Well, that's all mental, man. Once the situation got more intense, once the market got more intense, once the fan base got more demanding, he did not seem to take that pressure very well. And ultimately, in the NBA, you've got to be able to work with that pressure and even thrive with it. And it really hadn't happened. So, Charlotte, imagine the difference between playing for the Lakers and playing for Charlotte. Nobody watches Charlotte. I mean, you barely ever see any games on. And I can't even tell you the last time they were on ESPN or TNT. It's been a long time, you know? So that seemed like an ideal situation for him to rehab his career. So he had a nice year. But now he's going to be in a market where the fans actually care about the team. And so that's going to be very interesting to see whether he can produce like that again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Although I would disagree. Dave, I watch Charlotte. I do.
All right, so one person watches them. That's good.
But no, I agree. I just had to pull up Charlotte's roster because I can't even remember who's on their team going forward. I forgot they did sign Tony Parker, but yeah, that's not a good scenario.
That is not a good scenario. I mean, he's past his prime. I thought he was going to retire, and they signed him for 2 years for 10. So $5 million a year? I mean, yeah.
Well, he's already getting paid on top of that, so it's...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Man. So it's like wherever Carmelo signs, he's getting double paychecks.
That's so true.
Which is rumored in Houston, by the way. That's
ludicrous, man.
Maybe the Lakers pick him up for like...
No, please.
He and LeBron have a special relationship.
No, I know that, but no. Oh, man. I'll tell you, now the word right now with Carmelo is that the Rockets really want to get him. And I think it actually makes sense to me because, like, he's a shooter. He wants to chuck the ball. The Rockets love to shoot threes. It actually is a good fit. I think it may actually work out for the Rockets, at least in games, you know, like most games. I'm not sure what he'll do in the playoffs, but it seems like that could be the case. But he's going to have to be willing to be a bench guy because I know that he had this thought that he was a starter when he was in Oklahoma City, at least for a while. So I wonder if he's willing to adapt to that. If he is, I think the Rockets will end up being a decent situation for him. But on the Lakers, I mean, come on, his defense is so bad. Like, we're trying to get away from that. I mean, hasn't his offensive, whatever it is, his offensive efficiency gone down a lot in the last 3 years?
Yeah, totally. I don't see the Lakers as a good fit because they're loaded with, I mean,
they've got plenty of wings. They don't need that. They need guard play. They need guys that can play the perimeter.
Yeah, it doesn't. And he almost has to play like that power forward spot. I mean, he can't keep up with the smaller, you know, the small forwards. He can't guard Jaylen Brown at this point. I mean, that'd be a disaster. So, he'd be competing with on the Lakers. He'd be competing with, you know, Ingram and Kuzma. I mean, there's no minutes for him. And why would you do that to your young players? It wouldn't make any sense. I just threw that out there to tick you off.
No. Well, you're not the first to bring that up. I saw some rumblings on it on Twitter, and I'm like, I am going to. And I said, if they do this, somebody on the Lakers needs to be fired because that would be just one of the dumbest things. And it already, you know, in this offseason that already featured some pretty dumb signings from this host's point of view. I mean, you can live with it, but it's just not efficient. Like, they have to get one guys in 1 year deals. I understand that part of it.
Yep.
Like, they're trying to set up for the next offseason where they can get the next big free agent, which, you know, probably Kawhi, but we don't know. But to settle for guys like that and to jump on it so fast, it just wasn't good negotiating. It just was not very savvy, which is a little out of step because they've been very savvy with the draft and finding these guys, even down to Josh Hart, who I believe was a second round pick. I'll double check that. But
he was.
I mean, they're finding the guys in the draft, so we know that the scouting is pretty good. So it really is surprising to me that they would go this route, but they did it based on Magic Johnson's comments during Summer League. They did it basically to get guys with playoff experience, and the concept of that is not very foreign at all. It's actually really common. When you sign a big player, what do you tend to do? Well, let's get some veteran guys to, you know, to back them up and something stupid like that. But yeah, the argument of them being used as mentors, you weren't buying it. I'm not really buying it. I kind of buy it with Rondo, but I don't buy it with the other guys. So I'm not really.
I don't even buy it with Rondo, man. As much as I like that guy, I just don't see him like, yeah, come on, let's, we'll have movie night at my place and we'll review his tape. I mean, he's not that type of guy. I mean, he really isn't.
Yeah.
And I like him, and I don't. Well, let's put it this way. I think that was the strangest signing that the Lakers made.
Yeah.
Of all of them. I think that is
really
the weirdest one.
I mean, you just were talking up Lonzo Ball the whole year last year, leading up to the draft, then after the draft, and through the season, and in the middle of the season, and then after the season. And then you signed Rajon Rondo. Like, you're completely undermining the ability for Lonzo Ball to develop with this signing. I can get the picture of him being a bench guy, but it's hard to really see a signing like that and not think that he's going to get minutes. So I agree with you. I think the only reason why I think Magic wanted to do it, Magic and Rob Pelinka and whoever else in the Lakers, is because of the playoff experience, and they were just so insistent, let's get playoff guys. But you have to be a little smarter about that. I mean, you can get more productive playoff guys too. I mean, I didn't really see it. And then the kicker is that we all knew that the Lakers biggest deficiency was three-point shooting last year, and they signed three of the worst shooters that you can imagine in the NBA. I mean, where is the thought process on this from a basketball point of view?
Yeah, I think from that standpoint, re-signing KCP, even though you hated him, makes some sense because he's actually quite good at shooting the three.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. That's true. And, but his defense gives it back.
Yeah, his defense isn't great. I totally agree. I thought the Lakers had like three or four good moves after they signed LeBron, and I don't know that I think they made one good move after that. And again,
let's not mince the words. They made no good moves after that.
I mean, and like you said, they're 1 year contracts. They're not bad moves. It's not like, oh my God. It's not like they signed Timothy Mozgov at at 12:01 on beginning of the summer. It wasn't that. And, you know, sign them to a long-term contract. No, I mean, none of these moves that they made are going to hamstring them long-term.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like LeBron's clock is ticking. We talked about the age 34 thing. That you, credit to you for that one. Why do you – I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't think they're wasting a season. And maybe I'm totally wrong. And maybe, like – having LeBron on your team is really going to open it up for some of these other players, and Lonzo's going to get good looks, and he's not going to shoot 30% from three. And the players who actually have shown some inclination to shoot at three pretty well, like Hart and Kuzma and KCP, are going to do really well. So maybe there's that possibility too, but I don't know. There are teams I really want to see right now. I want to see play. The Lakers are maybe number two on that list right now.
Well, I know that half the NBA fan base thinks the Lakers are going to implode and have an absolute disaster of a season. Oh, it's going to blow up. I think people who think that are not familiar with most of the young guys on the Lakers, because Brandon Ingram is a stud. You know, Kuzma's had a very good year last year, and people keep bringing up, oh, well, he sucked in the last month of the season. Well, you know what? He's a rookie. I think he might be all right next year. I think he's got some really good peripheral tools. Like, it's just his overall skill set. He can shoot. He can rebound. He's got good speed. I think it's a solid player. I don't think you worry about that too much. We mentioned Josh Hart, the unsung hero last season off the bench, and then he's the hero of Summer League for a good period of time until the very end. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Like, that's pretty good. They signed Svi, whatever his name is. And he had a very good summer league as well. They drafted Mo Wagner from Michigan, and I didn't think it was that impressive, but he was having a really good summer league until he got hurt. So as long as he stays healthy, he might end up being pretty solid off the bench as well. So you could do a lot worse if you're talking about bigs. So it's interesting that the Lakers really can get it done with amateur talent, finding that, but signing actual free agents, it just seems to be so hit and miss. And it's like, there were guys out there they could have signed. I mean, J.J. Redick, for example, he ended up signing a 12. Was it 12? It may have been less. Yeah, no, it was $12 million deal for 1 year with the Sixers. Now, that probably was going to happen anyway. Like, you know, but hey, you know what? What if you give it a shot and say, hey, here's 15. You want to play for us and be a shooter and even start maybe because he's that good of a shooter. You know, there's a guy like that you could have had. You could have signed Trevor Ariza, although that's kind of dumb because they already have a lot of threes and fours. But the defense would have been really useful. You could have signed him instead of Stevenson. And at the worst case scenario, he comes off the bench. We know what he can bring from the three-point line. I know that that's kind of come off, but he's been known for most of his career for being a decent three-point shooter on top of that. So you get that. You could have signed... No, let's not go there. Let's see, anybody else? Well, you could have kept Julius Randle, but that was... I guess that never had a chance. You just keep hearing from Lakers land that there's bad blood between the front office and him. And I really want to know where that came from. That's a very curious situation because he seems like the most humble guy. It's got to be the agent. I just don't get why would that go south? I mean, you did raise a good point, Chris, that you thought that the playing time was just not going to be there. And I think you're right. I mean, He plays a four. He's going to compete with Kuzma and Ingram and really LeBron too for the four position, right? He could be a center, but I doubt it. His skill set doesn't really suggest center to me. He seems to be more of an offensive player. So he ends up signing with the Pelicans for 2 years at $18 million. And I'm really happy for him because he's a good guy. And he's been through a lot. He battled through the first season. He missed almost the entire season in his rookie year. And he's going to get to play with Anthony Davis. And who did they sign recently? That was also pretty good. But a pretty solid Pelicans team. I'm very happy for him. I think there could be a very fun year over in New Orleans. So good for him. I think the Lakers blew it, not making that work out. He could have been a very useful player. He just kept getting better every month. But here we are. So the Lakers are, I still think they'll be all right. I mean, it's just that they really could have maximized the end of the roster and had a much better depth. Instead, they ended up signing these three clowns. I think McGee will be all right. JaVale McGee is entertaining. You know, he makes a lot of stupid decisions, but he plays with a lot of heart, good energy guy off the bench. I mean, that's pretty much what you want for a guy off the bench that plays center. So that's fine. But the other guys, I'm just like you. I'm scratching my head. So, whew, that was a lot to say. I'll give it to you for any additional Lakers stuffs.
Yeah, I think the Lakers are gonna be good. I think earlier I said 50 wins, but that was before I saw what, you know, that was right after the LeBron signing. That was our show right after the LeBron signing. But I still think they could get in that 48, 49 win range, which, by the way, was, you know, Portland won 49 games last year. And they were the third seed in the West. So it's nothing, you know, nothing to sneeze at. And I totally could see them being the three seed in the West. I mean, LeBron is just that good. Yeah, I don't have much to add to that. I pretty much agree with everything you said. I love Josh Hart. I liked that movie draft pick at the time, and I like it more now, and he's really progressed. And he could have a bigger role just because he is one of the few guys who really can shoot on that team.
That's true. So, and he showed it in Vegas, yep. Right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, definitely keep an eye on him. I mean, this is the second year. It's hard to believe it's only the second year or so.
Yeah.
So he could have a big, big, big impact on that team this year.
Yep. That's pretty good. And over on the other side of the country, the Celtics signed Marcus Smart finally to a 4-year deal. It's been talked about for almost a month, but the deal comes through. At 4 years and $52 million, and for a guy that the Celtics value very highly, especially on defense, it looks like it's a very happy day for the Celtics organization. So, do you like the terms of the deal? I mean, it's clear that you were a big fan of Smart overall. What do you think of this contract?
Yeah, I have a complicated relationship with Marcus Smart. Because I love what he does on defense, but when he has the ball on offense, and if he pulls up from behind three, he's the ultimate. No, 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 no. Yes. Yeah. Good shot. Yeah. He's one of those guys. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Because he actually is a lousy 3-point shooter, but he just, In the weirdest times, he'll just nail a big shot, and it just makes no sense. I mean, I don't know his numbers, but you know he's a much below average 3-point shooter. And he takes a lot of threes too, which is really strange. He's underrated, and I've said this for a long time. He's a pretty good distributor. He's a good passer, and excellent on the defensive side. He can guard all types of players. He's a very strange player because you got to watch him a lot and then you can really appreciate him. The terms of the deal. Yeah. Here's the thing. I couldn't imagine going into next season without him just because he's such an important part on D. When he was out last year, they definitely missed him The intensity wasn't there. So I'm thrilled he's back. It's not, you know, look, I mean, we're talking about, Dennis Schroeder before. He's making less than Dennis Schroeder is. I mean, Dennis Schroeder to me is a player who doesn't do anything very well, like anything. Like, I think he's okay. He's passable. Marcus Smart is an elite defender, like, you know, an all NBA type defender. He's a better passer than Schroeder is. I don't think there's any question of that. I don't know. It sort of blows my mind that Schroeder is making that much money. But so when you put it in perspective and I look at his salary compared to some of the others, it's probably right on track. And I can't remember exactly the breakdown because I believe the contract escalates every year. So it's not evened out over the course of the lifespan of the contract, but I'm happy with it. I like it and I'm glad he's back. And I mean, you know, let's face it, the Celtics are basically running back the same team they had last year. And are just hoping that Hayward and Irving are healthy. And I think they're going to be really good. The one guy who I don't talk about much, or I haven't talked about much, is Jabari Bird, who was a rookie last year, second round pick out of Cal, and had a few nice games at the end of the season when Kyrie was out. And he was on that rookie, you know, second round contract. So he could technically be signed by anyone right now. And so far he hasn't. I hope some team like the Kings, who have a lot of money to spend, don't come in and swoop him up. But I would love to see him on the team just to get that extra guard depth and just to see him mature and to see if, you know, because I think he can help us. And you always, over 82 games, you find you need some of these players. So I'd be thrilled if he were back. That's it. I mean, I'm over the moon. I'm glad. I was nervous that there was going to be like some, like, I keep mentioning the Kings, but it makes sense because they have a lot of money. I kept thinking that one of these bad teams with money to spend was going to make Smart a big offer. I mean, he was an RFA, restricted free agent, but they didn't. And I'm over the moon. I'm glad he's back.
Good stuff. Yeah. And further, Celtics fans were very relieved to find out that they re-signed Aaron Baines to a 4.3 one-year deal. Were you losing some sleep over that before they signed it? What'd you think?
I love Aaron Baines. And I really do. I love him.
Fan favorite. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, no, for one thing, if you watch the Sixers series, he played Embiid really well. And he was frustrating Embiid. And you could tell it. I mean, visibly frustrating him. But by the way, he was defending him. And Embiid couldn't get to where he wanted to go on the floor. And it really took the Sixers out of the rhythm. So I was psyched. I was so glad that he was on that, signed for under $5 million on a one-year contract. That's fantastic. There were moments in the playoffs where he showed like veteran leadership. I remember when I can't remember which series it was. It might have been I think it was the Bucks series when the rookie Gershon Yabusele came in and really looked lost, especially on defense. And Aaron Baines was on the floor with him. And Aaron Baines is yelling at Stevens, get him out of this game. He doesn't belong in here. Get him out. And, I don't think it was meant maliciously. It was just kind of like, you know, this is a guy who has, you know, the team game on his mind, and he knows what's working. And so I'm thrilled. I love that. I'm like I said, everyone's coming back. I mean, there's, you know, outside of their first round draft pick, Robert Williams, it's all the same faces from last year, really. And so it's great. I can't wait. I'm so excited for basketball season.
Yeah, it's big. I mean, this is the team that really has the fewest question marks going into the year out of everybody in the East. Even the Sixers have some question marks at this point, because I think, you know, what are they going to get from Fultz, for example? That's an example of a question. how can they keep Embiid healthy over an entire season? That's another question, right? So they've got questions. They've got some good question marks to take into their season, as good as things have gone for Philadelphia. I mean, and the other thing is, like, what are they going to do with the GM situation? Are they going to get a new GM? And, you know, so they've got a little bit of turmoil, a minor turmoil, but it's still a little bit of turmoil compared to what Boston's up to.
Yeah, I think turmoil is a little strong, but I agree. Yeah, they definitely have to figure out that GM thing, because you don't want Brett Brown running the team long term. And yeah, the Fultz thing again, that's weird, and we don't know what's going on there, but you know, you'd like to see the guy figure it out and, like, come back and start shooting the way he did in college. And then yeah, the other thing I would say too is that the thing about the Sixers that we saw in the playoffs was that they were a good 3-point shooting team. And Covington last year, beginning of the season, was on fire. He was amazing from three, and of course Redick. But then they got those two guys off waivers from Atlanta, and Bellinelli and Ilyasova. And both those guys are gone. So right. I don't know. I mean, they probably have someone who can fill in the slack. I also, the guy I'm really kind of fascinated with is that Zaire Smith guy. Not a good shooter, so he's not going to fill in that role. But extremely good athlete, and could be an interesting player to watch. Of course, the Sixers have a lot of these guys who are good athletes, can't really shoot right now. So that's the interesting thing. I mean, they're not a lousy 3-point shooter, because you got Redick, of course, and Covington's good. But you have Ben Simmons and this guy, yeah, Zaire Smith and and Fultz. And so there's some question marks there. But I don't know. It's fun. I mean, I love it. I'm so glad that we're going to have this rivalry renewed with the Celtics and Sixers. And we got a little taste of that in the playoffs last year, which was really exciting. And, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yep. Great times for the Northeast. Midwest, not so much. The Bulls seem to not be able to get out of their own way. And here's what happened with the Bulls. Now, let's give you the good signing, the positive news. They took a chance on Jabari Parker, formerly of the Milwaukee Bucks, signed him for a 2-year deal, $40 million. Parker is originally from Chicago, so he's very excited about that. So he cannot wait to come home to play for his hometown team. That's pretty good. But what they did, matching an offer sheet from the Kings for 4 years and $80 million for Zach LaVine, just one of the dumbest things you could do in an off season. I mean, that is a lot of money to be paying somebody who barely plays, and he wasn't even that good. So, I mean, everybody has been just ripping the Bulls for this transaction. And Chris, I imagine you're no different.
Yeah, it's funny when you outbid the Kings on what was a bad contract offer, you're kind of in the special class, you know. I mean, you really are.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's all on potential. And, like, what scares you is that I'm trying to remember what was LaVine's injury last year, but you know, this is a guy who's, like, built his reputation on athleticism and such, he hasn't played 82 games in the last two seasons. So this is, you know, this is coming up on his fifth, and just, I just think that contract's insane. And yeah, what are the Bulls doing? I guess their thinking is that, look, we made this huge trade, gave away Jimmy Butler, and LaVine was supposed to be the kind of the centerpiece of that trade. It's going to end up being Lauri Markkanen, who was fantastic as a rookie, and they should have been fine with that. You know, they should have been okay with that. Look, Butler, yeah, we lost Butler, but we had a lot of good years with him, and now we got another young guy to take his place. And they should have been comfortable letting LaVine walk. I mean, he played 47 games in 2016-17 and then 24 last year. And yeah, I'm scratching my head at the Bulls. I don't know what they're doing. But as you reported already, they did sign Jabari Parker to a – I thought it was a one-on-one, like with a team option. I'm trying to look that up, but it's basically split down the middle. So the first year is a $20 million deal, and the second year is a $20 million team option, which mm-hmm. is a tremendous amount of money. Again, guys hurt a lot, but it is I think if I'm not mistaken, it's a team option the second year. So, you know, if he doesn't play and play well, they can walk away from it. So, again, 1 year contract, low risk, a lot of money, but Bulls stink and they had money to spend. So this isn't bad. Yeah, I thought they did well here. I have to admit, I thought they did really well here. The Bulls are going to be an interesting team. I think they're going to score a lot with the likes of Markkanen and Parker and maybe LaVine if he can get healthy. But they're going to be a bad defensive team. They're going to be really bad, and so we'll see. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And maybe Zach LaVine turns around and he lives up to all the hype that, you know, he's shown in his career. And, you know, he won the slam dunk contest, I believe, a few years ago. And that kind of catapulted him a little bit. So we'll see. But I will be the first to admit when I'm wrong. But I just don't like this contract.
It's hard to like that contract, especially the LaVine one, especially. I mean, it's just a joke. So let's look at some other contracts. The Rockets have some decisions to make. They've already lost some key talent. We mentioned Ariza. He signed a one-year, $15 million deal with the Suns. The Suns are so bad. I don't know what that's going to amount to for the team, but he should be good. But, gosh, I mean, I don't know. But, well, we'll worry about that later. What the Rockets have now is they've got to fill in some of those gaps. They also lost Luke Mumba Amute to the Clippers. He signed with the Clips in free agency for a one-year $4.3 million deal. Now, I guess $4.3 million deal is like the veteran's minimum, because that number gets used a lot, like 4.4, 4.3, 4.something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, former Clipper, he only was with the Rockets for the 1 year. So that was fascinating to me. Like, well, he only spent a year, but he made a big impact, and now he's going back to L.A., to go back to the Clippers and face a new look team, basically. So we've got that on the table, and the Rockets are now left with two guys who were big parts of their defense, and now they've got Gordon, and they are trying to sign Clint Capella to a deal, but as of right now, as we speak, he is a free agent. So it's very tricky, because I think Capella was making like $20 million last year, so I don't know what they'll do with that. They might be able to sign him for a one-year deal for a little less, but I feel like they might be getting desperate, because the defense is a big part of what made them challenge the Warriors. They lost some key pieces already, so how desperate do you think they will be to sign Capella?
I don't know if it's desperate. Well, maybe it is desperate, but, well, here's the thing. Like, one rumor I've heard is, I mean, the Rockets are right up against the cap. I can't remember exactly what their number is, but, you know, it's not like they have money to throw around. Capella, I believe, was on his rookie contract, so he was only making like $2 million. However, the rumor I've heard is that the Rockets are trying to trade Ryan Anderson, and I'll look up his contract, to the Kings. And I'll look it up, because I can't remember exactly how much time is left on that contract too. Ryan Anderson, let's see, he signed through the 2020 season. So he becomes a free agent after 2020. So two more years on that contract. He's making $20.4 million this year and $21.2 million next year. So it's a tremendous amount. And the rumor is that they would trade into the Kings, and they would be one of those deals where they sweeten the pot and give a first rounder or some combination of picks and make it palatable to the Kings, which would be a great move for the Kings, in my opinion. Because, again, when you're bad, you got to get your hand on as many draft picks as you can, in my opinion. That would be the rumor, and then that would free up a ton of cap space so that the Rockets could sign Capella and stop the drain on their defense, which we've seen all offseason. That would be the right thing for the Kings to do, because when you're bad, you know, it's like we're going to spend $13 million on Bielitsa. I mean, he's not a bad player, and he's a nice player, but why not trade for a guy like this? And Anderson can still play, I think, and get that contract, but fill up your, get to where you're at the salary floor, but then also get draft picks in the process. So yeah. It'll be interesting. I can't remember where I heard that. It might have been Zach Lowe. I can't remember. I wish I could.
Yeah.
I read so many things in the last few days, but it'd be interesting if they could make that work.
Yeah, and we know that Morey's a pretty good GM, so I'm sure he's going to definitely make a push for that kind of an exchange. We'll see if it takes. So, it's a lot of money, but hey, at this point in time, they're seeing guys getting bought out, so there's a lot of options for teams that will take on that kind of salary. And perhaps if you're going to give it to a team that needs to spend money anyway, so that may work out in both directions. Okay, so those are the big ones. Jeff Green signed with the Wizards for $2.5 million for 1 year. I mean, who cares? he's so awful. Like, is that fitting for you too, that another stiff on the Wizards? Because that seems to be their running thing in the front court. My goodness.
Yeah, I don't really get that, because the Wizards they have a lot of good wings anyways. I can't call Jeff Green a stiff because he killed the Celtics in the conference finals last year. That ripped my heart out. He had a great game when this, and basically he and LeBron just destroyed the Celtics in Game 7.
That's true.
The other guy I want to bring up is, and it's sort of an under the radar move, was the Warriors signed Jonas Jerebko. I think it was a 1 year contract. He's not going to move the needle, but he's a nice player. And I loved him on Boston. Of course, he was on Utah last year. He's a good player. And I think he'll step in and help them a little bit and give them nice depth through the season.
That is under the radar. I certainly was. I wasn't thinking of that one at all. So that's a good job out of you picking that out. So, not bad. All right. A few quickies, and then we'll wrap up the off-season portion of our off-season show. Derek Favors re-signs with the Utah Jazz for 2 years, $26 million. Isaiah Thomas, last seen on the Lakers, signs with the Nuggets for a one-year deal of undisclosed money. I'm going to presume that's about a $4.3 million deal. And Will Barton also signs with the Nuggets for 4 years and $54 million. Now, I think he was there last year, too. I don't remember a lot about him, but those are the last, kind of medium to ancillary players. So let's get your thoughts on those.
Yeah. I don't really see how Isaiah fits on the Nuggets. I just can't. I'm just trying to wrap my head around how. I mean, this is a guy who a year ago was, a legitimate MVP candidate, and now he's going to be not even a six man, I don't think. But he's going to be coming off the bench. And I mean, the Nuggets, they like their guards, and Murray and Barton, and Harris, those guys are going to play a lot of minutes. And so I just don't see how Isaiah slips into that rotation, unfortunately for him. I guess, you know, maybe, I mean, there probably weren't that many offers for him, and so he jumped at this. I don't know. What were the other contracts? I can't remember now.
Will Barton for four years.
Yeah, Will Barton.
Yeah.
Got him, yeah.
And Derek
Favors?
Yeah.
He re-signed with Utah?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a bit. What were the dollars on that?
He is getting 2 years, $26
million. Oh, so about $13 million. That's not – I could live with that. That's not bad. Good, like he can play some center, plays a lot of power forward. No, that's fine. He's not a, you know, he's okay. He's not what I thought he would be coming out of college. He went to Georgia Tech, and I thought he'd end up being a better player. But I can live with that. I like Utah. Utah's one of those teams that really hasn't changed that much, but I can't wait to watch them next year. There one other trade, Dave, that we haven't talked about, and I don't know how this slipped past you. I'm a little disappointed. The Kings received Deontay Davis and Ben McLemore from Memphis for a draft pick and Garrett Temple.
Oh my god! Oh man, how could I have missed that? Oh, so man.
Chew on that for a little. Maybe we'll show tomorrow. We come back. We take notes.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, 30 for 30.
You know, one thing
and
about with Memphis, I think Memphis might actually not be horrible next year, because when you think about it, they were missing Gasol last year, they were missing Mike Conley last year. They got those two guys coming back, and I think, you know, like I like what Jackson, the rookie they drafted this year. And who's the guy? The rookie from that they had last year from Oregon? I'm trying to remember his name. Jaren Jackson's the forward they drafted this year, and Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks looks like a nice player. Maybe I'm talking myself into this. I don't know. I don't think they're gonna be horrible. I don't think they're gonna be like.
Well, it can't be any worse. They were awful last year.
Yeah, that's true, but they have like some nice pieces. I sort of like Garrett Temple. Like, I mean, he's not a joke. I mean, he's like a decent, you know, little wing that could fit in. On a good team, he's not starting. He's probably starting on this team.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have to look at their rotation. But he's a nice player. But I don't know. I'm weirdly interested in Memphis, and it could all nosedive. You know, Gasol and Conley don't come back, or they come back and they're not effective. I don't know. We'll see. But I just thought I'd throw that in there.
All right. That's it for transactions right now. We've covered a lot, and remarkably, I think we pretty much had everything. All the notable transactions have been covered in the scope of this program, picking up from where we were last week with all those transactions. So I think when we do the next one, we'll have yet another round of transactions. I think we're just getting started in a way. Oh, maybe we're not just getting started, but we certainly have had a lot, and there's a lot more to come. So let's see. Some other things. Summer League was a big hit in Vegas, and I mentioned the particulars as to who won. But it was also a showcase for some of the rising stars in the league. A lot of the first round draft picks were in the mix on this summer league tournament. So I wanted to get your feeling for some of the players you saw during summer league. What were your takeaways?
Shoot, you know, I unfortunately didn't watch as much as I had intended because I was traveling a lot. I mean, on the Celtics. You know, from I mentioned Jabari Bird, he looked like he was playing on a different level when he played, and they eventually sat him. Robert Williams only played one game, And he looked good, but again, he might have some knee issues that they're going to have to work through, so stay tuned for that. We talked a lot about the Lakers. Josh Hart obviously won the MVP, was just on another level from some of these other guys. I don't know. You said Mo Wagner played really well too. Unfortunately, I didn't see too much of him. The guy I liked, Jaren Jackson, what I saw of him, he looked really good. I think some teams like the Kings, like the Hawks, are going to regret passing on him. And also Luka Doncic. I don't know. I mean, he's still a little raw, Dave, but the athleticism, the size, it's just, he could be a nice player 3 or 4 years down the road. I'm trying to remember who else I saw. I watched a little bit of that Kings Suns game and Bagley and Ayton, thank you. Both looked good. I mean, they both played really well. It was interesting because everyone was saying Bagley, you know, only played zone defense at Duke, so he, you know, it was his first time playing, you know, well, not first time, but first time that most people have seen him play a lot of man D, and did fairly well. I thought he acquitted himself well. I think the Kings are going to regret not taking either of those Doncic or Jaren Jackson. I'm really high on him. And then trying to remember who else I saw. Oh, Trae Young actually got off to a horrendous start. His first few games couldn't hit anything, and then started to come on and played really well later in the tournament and started to hit a lot of shots. Still not a fan, Dave. Again, I don't know. I whenever you see like, oh, this guy had success in Golden State and he drafted he drafted Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and now he's trying to duplicate the exact same thing in Atlanta. That just, you know, to me, that's just a huge red flag. I mean, you only get one Steph Curry. Yeah. I'm not saying that Trae Young can be great, but just to think that's like a pattern that can be reproduced is kind of insane in my mind.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, if that's what he was going for, I think that's a really silly decision. I mean, you had one of the potentially transcendent players everybody's been saying about as far as Luka Doncic, and you're just giving up on him because, well, he's not a guard. That's dumb. Yeah. That is so dumb. That is just not even as good as Trae Young may end up being, and I don't even think he's going to be that good either. So, I just don't like where they were going with that, and Dallas has got to be just laughing to the bank. That's a steal. They have him. They got Dennis Smith Jr. And they re-signed Dirk Nowitzki for one more season. And I just keep wondering if each time it's going to be his last season. But he looks like he's still got enough to make it one more year. Dallas could be in better shape. They definitely are getting aggressive with the offseason. I've noticed that. And they picked up, we talked about that last time. They picked up DJ, DeAndre Jordan, for the one-year deal. So the Mavericks have very big intentions of making the playoffs this year. They're not thinking, oh, this is a rebuilding year, maybe we'll be good. No, they're thinking, let's take this team and get a playoff seed out of it. And if they do, it'll be the first trip to the playoffs in a very long time. I can't even remember when they were last there. I mean, I have to think it's at least 5 years, maybe 4 years. It's been a really long time. I mean, they've been garbage for the last two. So, Yeah, I mean, I just think the Atlanta Hawks might be kicking themselves for passing on that. It's just like when the Blazers took Sam Bowie because, well, we already got Clyde Drexler, so we don't need another guard. It's like, no, you picked the best player in the draft. It's like, you don't overthink that stuff. So you're worried that might have been the case for Atlanta. So I don't know. But I forgot to mention the Mavs. It looks like the Mavs have at least an interesting team for next year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, another year for, well, I mean, you got Doncic, and then you got another year for Dennis Smith Jr. And I think they drafted Jalen Brunson this year, who was a senior out of Villanova. So, they're going to be an interesting team. One of those teams that I don't want to spend too much time on, but I think they'll be fun to watch. I mostly want to see them to see Doncic, to be honest. And what else were we talking about? Was there some other team that you threw in there?
I think that was it. I was just basically saying Atlanta may have missed an opportunity.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Atlanta's not going to be fun. I was so disappointed. I was hoping, to see Doncic play for the Hawks and, get a whole bunch of tickets and go to games and be exciting. But I can't even tell you who the starting players are on the Hawks. I mean, Collins, who was a rookie last year, is almost certainly going to start. And then probably, I would guess, I mean, maybe Jeremy Lin, assuming he is healthy. And then they would have Trae Young off the bench. But Bazemore, Collins, Torian Prince, I would guess. And Deadman at center, maybe, something like that. It's going to be bad, Dave. They're going to be horrendous.
Yeah, you're right. That doesn't sound good at all. They have no size. They don't have very good shooting from these guys you mentioned to me.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin, I mean, when was the last time he had a good shooting performance? He had to go back about 2011, right, with the Knicks?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he can't stay on the court. That's the problem.
Yeah. I thought he was out of the game. I didn't even know he was still in the game.
Yeah. I mean, he was in Brooklyn and he was injured. So that's close to being out of the game.
That's pretty close, yeah. So that's about it for this chapter. I imagine there'll be more coming up, and it's setting up for a very good season. It does seem that there are a few teams that are probably going to be completely out of it, but as we go into the rest of the off season, we'll eventually get to a point where we do a preview, and we'll cover our predictions for the year. One thing I wanted to throw out there for you is the possibility of over-unders, and we're going to have a lot of fun with that. There are just going to be some teams that we can't wait to jump on the under. I already know two of them from you because you mentioned them already. You said that Washington and Minnesota are going to just completely tank. And I agree. I think whatever the number is, I'd happily take the under.
Yeah, I don't know completely tank. I just think there's a strong potential that they could. And both those coaches could be out.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's going to be fun. A lot of talk about Team USA Camp 2, but we'll have more for you in a few weeks. We basically feel out the off season, and whenever the next big wave comes, that's usually about the point that we schedule our next off season show. So, before we go, just do you think there'll be any more giant dominoes to fall between now and the start of training camp?
I don't see it. I don't feel like we're going to Kawhi trade like we did last year. Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing I could see happening is like another one of these big salary dumps, like I mentioned, like potentially with Ryan Anderson to the Kings, something like that. Mm. But I don't know. There's always a potential that Kawhi doesn't report to camp or something, or he makes it known that he doesn't want to play in Toronto and Toronto deals him again.
Possible. That would be not a good look, honestly, not a good optic for him. So he's got to be careful with that decision. You don't want to seal yourself out and burn bridges with fan bases like that, because I think even Laker fans will see that and go, if he's that unwilling to cooperate with teams, what's going to happen if things go bad with the Lakers in the scenario where he's with them, right? Like, I don't think fans will look on that too well. So
also, Dave, I mean, let's face it, the guy played like, what did he play, like 8 games last year?
Yeah.
And he was hurt the year before. Yep. And it's at some point, you got to demonstrate that you can stay on the court.
Yeah.
So it's in his interest, if he wants to get the big money and play wherever he wants, to actually play first and show people he's healthy.
That's a good point.
And not only that he's healthy, he can play on the level he was playing, before the injury.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think He's got everything to gain by playing through a season and staying healthy, and everything to lose by not playing for your principles. I mean, I just think that you got to consider the ramifications of what that can impact, what your value can be if you make a decision like that. I mean, it's just common sense. So we'll see if he can exercise some common sense in the months ahead. So we'll see about that. Meanwhile, let's enjoy the summer. Chris, I appreciate talking with you again. It's been a lot of fun, and thanks for taking the time out to share some basketball stuff with me. And we'll do it again soon. We'll keep in touch, and thanks again. Any final thoughts before we go? Uh-oh. Did I lose you already? Hello?
Oh, sorry. No, I think I muted myself.
Okay.
I just want to thank you for having me. And these summer shows have turned into they've just been fantastic. They've been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed them. Yeah, I mean, if we do another one, great. If we go into our preseason predictions, that'll be fine too. But thanks again.
Absolutely. Yeah, pleasure's mine. Have a good one, Chris. We'll be in touch.
All right. Good night.
Thanks. Take care. Good to have Chris with us again tonight. And coming in really, really clear via the Google Hangouts. It's a lot of fun. So that is a very big boulder of off-season coverage for you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow me on Twitter at DiffCow. You can follow my blog and the podcast at www.diffcow.com. We're back with a golf recap for the Open Championship. We'll see you next time.